us to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We've been talking about Elisha raising the life of this boy, this Shunammite woman's son, back to life. The miracle of the birth of this boy. And 2 weeks ago, as we were looking at this passage of scripture, we talked about the tragedy of loss. And so this week, we begin to look at the journey that we have towards bringing this child back to life. And this morning, we were talking and we've been praying about people that we know that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we try to be a witness. We try to go out of our way to share the gospel, to change people's lives. And in this passage of scripture, I've tried to compare this raising of the Shunammite woman's son back to life to new life in Christ. And as I've been comparing this, I think we think about people that we know need new life in Christ. They need to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We get excited when we hear about that. We heard about that this week in prayer meeting. We heard about someone accepting the life of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so as I'm looking at this passage and as I'm reading, I see in 2 Kings chapter 4, two kinds of people in this story that played an important part in bringing Elisha into the life of this young child, the boy being brought back to life. And that is his mother and Gehazi. And Gehazi, if you know anything, he's the guy that followed Elisha around and was Elisha's servant and spent a lot of time with Elisha. But when we read the Bible, we have a hard time finding much good about Gehazi in the Bible. And so I call him the faithless servant. We're going to look at the faithless servant this morning and a mother who was willing to go the extra mile to see her son be born again. And so what I did is, as I was putting together these notes, I put them together a while ago, and as I was preparing for this week, what I did was I completely changed the order in which I was going to do them. Because I thought what we'd do is we'd look at Gehazi's part in the story first, and then we'll end with looking at the mother who went the extra mile. So we're actually kind of going to, we're going to read the book backwards today. Is that okay if we do that? But it's just because of what I want to finish with. I want to finish with the mother who was willing to go the extra mile. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the text, and we'll take a look at this faithless servant. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for people in our lives, as we have come together as believers, and someone went out of their way, they went the extra mile to share their faith with us. They're willing to serve you, to do something different, to invite, to invest their lives, and to make a difference. I pray that you might help us to have the same desire to do that. And I pray that your name might be glorified and honored this morning as we read the Word of God and as we try to apply it to our hearts. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if we have our Bibles open to 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, I'd like us to start reading in verse 27. In 2 Kings chapter 4, in verses 27 to 31, we read these words. Now when she came near to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me." has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he, that's Elisha, said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. So as I read this story and as I look at Gehazi, I see, first of all, when this woman comes with a problem, Gehazi in the Old Testament, he's the model of how not to do it. You understand what I mean there? If you're saying, how should we live as a Christian? How should we serve the Lord? And what should we be doing? As I look at this guy, he's just a model of, this isn't how you serve the Lord. So if you want to look at the counterexample of how you ought to be living for Jesus Christ, look at this guy. Because you're going to see somebody that's going to teach you how not to do it. And the first thing is this woman comes and she pours her heart out to Elisha, comes and just right to his feet in tears, and her heart is broken, her son has died. And what's he do? He pushed her away. Do I need anything more than to say that this is how you don't do it? If someone's life has been just destroyed, tragedy is in their life, and they come begging for help, this guy, he doesn't even want to have time to do anything with it. Pushes her away. And so as we look at this man, we see someone who is left cold, emotionless, doesn't want anything to do with her. But Elisha had genuine concern. Don't do that to her. Don't push her away. Can't you see that something's wrong with her? Bring her to me. Let's hear what's going on. As Christians, we need to be real. Elisha wasn't afraid to say, the Lord has hidden this thing from me. He's not told me why this tragedy. I don't know why this has happened to you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the Lord's plan is right now. But let's hear it. Elisha was real. He was concerned. Gehazi is left cold, emotionless. We don't see any care or concern in this man. It instantly reminded me of something we saw in the life of Jesus Christ from the book of Matthew. So let's turn over in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 15, says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. So I think about this often as we relate to people. If someone walks into church and maybe they're a little different than us, how do we treat them? If someone walking down the street and we can see that their life is a wreck and ruin, do we show true Christ-like compassion for them? Or do we, like Gehazi, try to push them out of the way and not show any care or desire to help in time of need? We need to, like Elisha, be wholehearted. really have a care and desire to reach a lost and dying world. So, as we think about that, I'd like us to think about the relationships that you encountered with people in the last week. Children. Did they get under your skin? Kids have a tendency to do that, don't they? They get under your skin and, if there's something that just drives you, they can just dig a little deeper and dig a little deeper. And you kind of want to push them away like Gehazi did. But do you, like Elisha or like Jesus Christ, have a desire to listen, to hear, and to help? And so often people that we encounter and the people that we run into, they've got problems. And over and over and over again, we need to, like Elisha, like Jesus Christ, be wholehearted and willing and ready and prepared to make a difference in their life. We look at this guy and we see that he had action but not faith. Let's talk about that while we're turning over our Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but when I think about what Gehazi did, he did exactly what Elisha said. He took Elisha's staff, he went down to this boy, placed it on this young man who had passed away, and nothing happened. He did what he was supposed to. But as I see what's going on in this guy's life, we're going to look at him in the next story that we look at in the life of Elisha too, and we're going to see this guy, the character of his life was consistently a faithless one. And so he might have done what Elisha said, but he had not been listening to the words of Elisha. He wasn't a man that acted in faith. And so when he just goes through the motions and does what he thinks he ought to, he doesn't see the hand of God at work. He doesn't see any change in this boy. And so in your life, if you're saying, you know what, I go to church on Sunday, I say a prayer once in a while, we pray before our meal, and I throw a dollar in the offering plate, I don't see you at work. I don't see you answering my prayers. I don't see you making a difference in the world around me. God, are you even there? Maybe you're like Gehazi. You follow around a prophet. You do what he says. You go through the motions once in a while. But you lack faith. The kind of faith that would listen to a woman in desperate need of help. The kind of faith that would go the extra mile to do something for the Lord. The kind of faith that believes that God can take a boy whose life is gone and seems like there's no point and can make a difference. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." We need to make sure that in our lives that we have both faith and works going together to see that God will do amazing things in our life. We need to have faith in God that He sent His Son to this world to die on the cross for our sins. He rose again 3 days later to get victory over sin and death and hell. And he gives you abundant life, eternal life. We were talking about that this morning. Eternal life starts the day you ask Christ as your Savior, and it lasts forever. And we've got a job to do until Christ calls us home. We need to be about that work today, serving the Lord and living out our faith, making a difference in our world. Gehazi was not. He might have followed Elisha around, but he didn't have his faith was lacking. Some people say they believe in God, but they don't have works to back it up. And some people are doing works because they think if they do what they're supposed to, they're going to earn their way to heaven. The Bible says, no. Our verse this month, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Your works will not get you to heaven. Faith will get you to heaven. And true faith makes a difference. It makes a difference in your life, the quality of your life, and ultimately the quantity of your life. I'm excited about that second part. And we get to a little glimpse right now of the first. And it's important that we have faith and works. But enough about that guy, Gehazi. Let's talk about mom. So we got to go backwards in this story a little bit. So as we turn back to 2 Kings chapter 4, we need to look at the mom who was willing to go the extra mile. And as I look around this room, I think, man, there are some moms who in their lives have gone the extra mile. And there are some of us that need to be going the extra mile. And maybe today I'd like to challenge you to be like this mother and see how you can go out of your way to go the extra mile. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 to 26. It says, then she called to her son and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may return to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor is the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman. So again, we're going backwards in the story because we want to focus on what mom did here today. Mom had tragedy come into her life. Her son that was given to her by God because of her hospitality is now dead. And she looks and she has crisis in her world and she says, we need help. Let's go to the man of God, and everybody's trying to stop her from getting, whether it be her husband or Gehazi, and she says, let's go, let's saddle that donkey now, and let's go in a hurry and get there. She was willing to go the extra mile for her son. And when we think about it, and I'd like to challenge all of us this morning in the room, as we think about the relationships with our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our spouses, the people we love, that we think about them and tragedy is in their life. Or they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We need to be willing to go the extra mile and not let anything scare us away. We read this morning, and you can turn in your Bibles there if you would like, but we read Romans chapter 8 just a minute ago. And in Romans chapter 8, we have some of my favorite verses in verses 37 to 39. Romans 8, 37 to 39, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know that often we say there's nothing that can come between us and God as we look at this passage of Scripture. I'm saying if we love God and we want to have a relationship with Him and we want to serve Him and have faith and works, is anything going to separate you from doing the work that God has called you to do? This woman, I think the post office would have been proud of her because she's had a message to go to Elisha and nothing was going to stop her. She was going to get there no matter what. She says, let's go as fast as we possibly can to deliver this message. Even when other people, other circumstances, 15 miles wasn't going to keep her away from the man of God. Riding a donkey wasn't going to keep her away from the man of God. The fact that it wasn't the right day to go and see the man of God was not going to stop her. Nothing was going to stop her. There are some people that have gone the extra mile for their children. This one is not a spiritual example, but it shows a mother who's willing to go the extra mile. If I say a mother is willing to go the extra mile for their child's education, I think that we ought to go the extra mile for our children and their eternal lives. There's a story of the mother of Dmitry Mendeleev. I don't know if anybody here knows who Dmitry Mendeleev is, but he's the man that as he was a chemistry teacher, and one weekend as he was putting together a textbook for a college class that he was going to be teaching, he looked at it and he said, this is so wrong the way we teach it. It's not organized. It takes way too long. There's got to be a better way to do that. And he came up with the periodic table that's been plaguing kids for a long, long time ever since. But if they knew what chemistry students had to go through before he came up with that periodic table, they'd be thanking him for that neat little tool. That ended up, and he did that in a weekend, and it ended up helping people discover new elements. But the backstory is kind of neat. Dmitry Mendeleev grew up in Siberia. And when he was a young man, his father passed away. And it was hard for the family and hard for Dmitry and his brothers and sisters. But mom noticed in Dmitry, she said, there's something different about this guy. This kid is smart. His talents need to be used. And not here in the midst of outer Siberia, you know, trying to make ends meet and nobody, he needs to be used. So she packed up a horse and wagon and took her child to Moscow and then on to St. Petersburg to try and find this child a place where he could study. She took a journey in a horse and wagon of 1,753 miles to get her kid to school. Wow. And then left him there to study. Now that's a mom who's willing to go the extra mile, don't you think? And then, you want to know what happened with that mother? After traveling 1,753 miles in a horse and wagon with her son to get him to school so he could study science to give us the periodic table, a month later, after taking her son, she died because she got pneumonia on the way on this journey, and it ended up costing her life. And her son says, my mom was willing to go the extra mile, sacrifice everything, so that I could go to school. Don't you think that he probably was the kid that took the most ambition in school and studied? If his mom was willing to do that, to make something of himself, that's a mom going the extra mile. And when I think about it, what's more important, your kid studying chemistry? And I don't think there's anything wrong with what this mother did, or where your child spends eternity. For your child and where they would spend eternity, would you be willing to travel 2,000 miles on horseback to go the extra mile to share the gospel with them one last time? Would you be willing to sacrifice to share the gospel with a grandchild? A family member who you know needs the Lord? Would you be willing to, like this woman really did, lay down your life for your child? To see them come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's another example that I'd like to share with you. This one, a little bit more of a spiritual example. And that's the Wesley's mother was prepared to go the extra mile for them. Many of you guys know and have heard of Charles and John Wesley before. They had a mother who prayed every day individually for her 17 children and daily urged them to find repentance. Charles was said at the end of his life that he learned more about theology in the Bible from his mother than he did from any theologian in Bible school. And he said that his mother just taught him and taught him and taught him, prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. So many of us in this room, we have people that we know that we would love to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What's going to keep you from sharing the gospel one more time? Is it angel, principality, power, thing present, thing to come, a height, a depth, or any other created thing? God loves you so much that nothing could stand in His way from coming to this earth to die on the cross for your sin. We know people that desperately need the Lord. Are we willing to go the extra mile for them? One of the things that was asked is, what is your favorite version of the Bible? John Wesley replied, best version of the Bible? The MMV, my mother's version of the Bible. Best version of the Bible that you can have in your life. It's one that you share with your children. Now, I'm not going to go, the point here is not for me to go into, you know, is it the NIV, the ESV, the New King James? That's not the point this morning. The point today is that for a mother, for a child, for a brother, a sister, a father, of someone who needs the Word of God so that they can spend eternity in Jesus Christ. The most important version of the Bible is the one you share with them. I hope that you can think of someone who went the extra mile. There are so many songs that stick in my mind, because when we were traveling down the road as children, my mother threw on a cassette tape in our car that was scripture verses played to music. And all the time, and me and my brother, we constantly wanted to change the radio to listen to something different than that same cassette tape. But my mother just, you know, she put it back in there. And sometimes when I'm just walking down the road, those songs that I listened to when I was 10, 11 years old that had scripture verses in them, they just come back to mind. You know, I can, Me and my mother definitely didn't agree with everything that my mom said about the Bible, and we debated my mother about the Bible a lot more than I've ever debated anybody. We spent a lot of time doing that. I know I had a mother who often went the extra mile for us. And I think about all of us today. This week, can we go the extra mile to for someone who's in the midst of tragedy, crisis, does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And if someone is not willing to go the extra mile, we'll spend eternity without Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to go the extra mile. Let's look up those verses, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." What a testament of a mother and a grandmother who passed their faith on to Timothy. We need to be willing to, this mother and grandmother were willing to go the extra mile and to help change the life in the faith of a young man by the name of Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we all know verse 16, but in verse 15 it says, "In that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." As we close this morning, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I'd like us to think and examine what we're doing as a Christian. We looked at two people. We looked at Gehazi this morning, and we looked at the Shunammite woman, a mother who was willing to go the extra mile, and a man who was faithless, was willing to push away a mom who was in the midst of tragedy, who went through the motions, but the faith wasn't there. And he didn't see this young man come back to life, but a mom who wasn't willing to give up, was willing to do whatever it needed to see this child come back to life. I'd like you to think about your life and the people that you know. Are you willing to go the extra mile, or are you going to continue to just go through the motions? Which will you be this morning? Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we're examining our hearts right now. Lord, I pray that you might help us to go the extra mile, to be willing to, if need be, to travel 1,700 miles through the snow, to every day pray for 17 children, pray through a list of grandchildren, that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ, to share the Word of God like Lois, like Eunice did to Timothy. I pray that you might help us just to serve you with everything that we have. Help us to go the extra mile this week. In Jesus' name, amen.